Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stories are told about my grandfather who would preach for an hour, no more, no less. I don't think this is a good time for me to adopt that particular strategy, so I will attempt to keep this rather short. This is, at least in one of those in stories, that is the calling of and some of the disciples that would follow Jesus. It was a command from Jesus to follow me, as well as an invitation from and Philip to Nathanael to simply come and see. They both, in their own way, become calls of discipleship. If we were to describe discipleship, it might be that we would look at it in terms of a smorgasbord, a whole table of stuff laid out there. And as we come along with our plates, we would and pick up the good stuff that we want and leave the rest for someone else. This is not true discipleship. What we do is that we pick and choose. We think that this is the good thing or the thing that we want to specialize in and leave the rest for someone else to do. This happens in all kinds of ways. It might be that we are going to concentrate on prayer and retreat. So we say, I am going to buy myself a ticket on the Lady of the Lake, travel up the lake and up to Holden Village, and I'm coming back until I'm good and ready. It's going to be me, a fishing pole, and taking pictures and lots of Holden an evening prayer on Sunday nights, but that's going to be my discipleship. At this point, I need to express a disclaimer. My own wife decided to go up for a summer and spent a year there. But such, you know, it happens. She eventually returned to the real world. Or it might be that we're going to say, I am going to involve myself in worship. I like worship. I get it. But don't ask me to do anything else. Don't ask me to go out there and hobnob with people on the street. This is where I do my discipleship. Or it might be that we might be those who say, I'm going to spend my time in Bible study or in theological reflection and go off and think great thoughts. But whatever you do, don't ask me to serve on a committee, and certainly not on the council. And whatever you do, I'm not going to be an usher. That's for someone else to do. You know how this works. We've probably all done it to some degree. And if it had gone our way, we would have had a very small and limited life as a Christian. But instead, Jesus simply says to follow me. And as these disciples did, they would see more and learn more from Jesus, who was able to put it all together. One minute he's out there and calming the wind and the waves, another minute he's off in prayer all by himself in the middle of the night. Another time he's healing the daughter of a young woman, or at a time that she considers it only a few crumbs from the vast and meal that God offers, but she gets the healing. Another time, Jesus is out there in the messiness of and politics, and turning over the tables in the temple. And in these years that the disciples would spend with Jesus, they would see it all. When Jesus says to come and follow me, it's not for bits and pieces. It's not for the leftovers that we offer God and out of our lives. It's for everything, that we get it all. And we will find those places where God will call us to serve. Perhaps it will be in places that we never imagined. There will be a few surprises, but that's okay, because it is God who calls us, and God who teaches, and God who brings us along, and God who gives us every gift and every strength that we are going to need to meet the challenges that are before us. This is discipleship, not one that we get to choose and make up ourselves, but one that God invites us to. Come, he says, and follow me. Amen.